Let's try that. There you go. Now, see, look at that, a college education paying off. I went to preschool. Come on, that was a good joke. My name is Father Ken Geraci of the Fathers of Mercy. Fathers of Mercy were a missionary community out of Western Kentucky. I was here for the Fullness of Truth Conference yesterday and today, but this is also a bit of a homecoming for me. I grew up in Houston. I went to school at Stephen of Austin State in Nacogdoches and co-founded a software company in 2002 and moved out to Austin, Texas. And so I lived off Old Torf and Lamar for my corporate career. And so this is kind of, in a sense, the scene of the crime, but not necessarily the crime. It was actually the scene of my conversion. I was agnostic most of my life, and I spent most of my life doubting God's existence and rejecting Christianity and religion altogether. And it was through business partners, it was through the people that I was associated with, specifically this Catholic community, that really helped bring me to know the faith. I went to St. John Newman's Christ Renews His Parish program, their retreat series, and that really helped lead me back into the faith. So anybody who ever struggles with faith, I know where you're at. Anybody who absolutely loves your faith, now I know where you're at. And I'm so grateful to have my vocation to the priesthood, to be able to be with you here in what I consider my hometown. This is where I became a man. This is where I really embraced faith and came to know what it meant to be a man of God. And so we have the opportunity that we see in our gospel today to take a look at this, right? Let's examine this gospel and see what it's saying. You know, we have this the one son where God, where the father says, go into the field and do X, Y, and Z. And he says, no. And for whatever reason, he gets up and goes and does it. Where you have the other son where the father says, go into the field. He says, yeah, boss. Yeah, dad. Sure thing. I'll do it. And he sits there and plays InstaFace or Snapchat or whatever it is, these, you know. And so he gets caught up in his own thing and he doesn't do what the father asks of him. So obviously our Lord says, which one did the father's will? It's not that hard to figure out. But when we unpack that a little more, let's take a look at who Christ is speaking to. He is speaking to the elders and the chief priests. These are people who are well established in the faith. Why such an elementary parable to such wise and learned men? And I submit to you one of the many interpretations of this gospel is this theme, and it's this: how easy it is to lose your soul. How easy it is to lose your soul. Because when I had my conversion back in whenever it was, the early 2000s, I was zealous for the faith. I couldn't get enough of reading the scriptures and saying my prayers and going to adoration. And I looked forward to Mass. And it was all of this newness. It was exciting for me because what my heart longed for and what I was being starved of was being fulfilled. But then it got ordinary. Then my life got busy. Then there were X, Y, and Z things that began to happen. Or maybe Father said something that upset me. Or maybe I encountered something within the church that was scandalous. And it made it a greater effort. And I had to work at praying. You know, it's one of these things that when we look at our prayer life and look at our daily life, it's so easy for the things of God to be kind of crowded out by the busyness and things of the world. We can talk about that at great length, but when we look at that principle of what are we being asked to do, we have to pay attention to what the question is. What did the Father ask the Son to do in the field? Well, when you look at the commissioning of a Christian, it's to go out and proclaim to the world that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what the children of God are being asked to do, to proclaim that Christ, Jesus Christ, is God, and he's come in the flesh, and that this world will never satisfy us, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we die, we will go to one of two places. We will either end up in heaven, maybe a little purgatory in the middle, right? But we're either going to end up in heaven, or we're going to end up in hell. There's no middle ground. It's not like atheists just, you know, the lights go out and they disappear, right? The Buddhists go to Buddhist area. No, it's heaven or hell. And so when we look at what God is asking us to do into the field, are we first proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of God in our own lives? You know, are we ministering to ourselves first? I do this in my marriage preparation. I have this great young couple I'm preparing for marriage now. And we talk about what does it take to make a great, holy marriage? Well, in order to have a great marriage, you need to have two great Christians, right? You can't take one great one and one bad one, put them together, then all of a sudden you get a great Christian marriage, right? No, you got to have everyone on the same page. And so when we look at this, we really want to examine ourselves. Is there enough evidence in my life, if the Vatican sent out ambassadors to each of your homes and followed you along every day, maybe Jesus took your phone and went through the history of your phone, right? And looked at your history of your all the analytics associated with your person. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? It's a great question, because for the greatest time in my life, I might have considered myself to be a Christian, but the stories I told and the things that I did and my behavior, there was this great duplicity there. I wasn't all in for Jesus Christ. Now, being all in for Jesus Christ doesn't mean that you're totally out of the world. No, rather for the lay faithful, you're called to be the leaven in the world, to be excellent at the natural things that you do. You know, again, we want you to be the best business person, the best students, the best carpenters or moms or whatever it is that you might be doing, the field that you find yourself in. The church invites us to be excellent in all of those areas because we want to show the world that it is not only our natural ability, but God's grace in my natural ability that's making us excellent. And so we can minister to the world by our excellence in what we do. So that's one way of evangelizing, is being great at the things that you do, whether it's business, hobby, whatever it is that you find yourself in. Strive for the greatest level of excellence, not because for the sake of excellence itself, but rather for the glory of God. Say, Jesus, I want to give you my very best. So that's the natural level, sanctifying our daily duties and living our life for the glory of God. Secondly, how do we pray? Do we have a prayer life, right? I remember one young man, he was discerning the priesthood, and the spiritual director said, tell me about your prayer life. And the young man responded, it's more of a hobby. Now, do you have a prayer life? In business, we say if you cannot measure something, you cannot manage that thing. And so it's important to have a measurable daily plan of prayer. And again, as we, depending on the age, right, maybe a young child, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they might pray 3 Hail Marys every day by themselves, right? A young kid is going to have a very small prayer life. But some of us older, the more we mature, the more that should be developed, that we should be praying the rosary or the chaplet of mercy or some other devotional. We should be spending time every day in the sacred scriptures. We should be spending time in silence every day, in addition to our generic conversation with God throughout our day. And so having a daily plan of prayer is a very important way for us as Christians to manage our spiritual life. Because at the end of my day, I can look back and say, how well did I pray today? Did I pray my devotional prayers? Did I spend time in scripture? Did I give God some silent time for him to talk and me to listen? And did I speak to God throughout my day? Now, depending on your day, you might do excellent or you might do poorly. But either way, you can track this and see how well you're doing. Because if you go 6 for 7 in a given week, you get it right 6 days and mess up one day, hey, well done, good job. Right? But if you're getting 0 for 7 or 1 for 7, we need to reevaluate our intentions, right? Because either there's something really big going on in your life that you might need some assistance with, or maybe it's that you don't care. I don't know. You're the only one who can answer that. But if we take prayer seriously and make that daily commitment for prayer, how much more amazing will our life become? Again, one of the things we say about the natural order and the supernatural is being good at one will make you better at the other. So there's this call for us to recognize our call and dignity as Christians, but specifically what we as sons and daughters are being sent into the world to do, to sanctify the world, to Christify the world, to conform the world to Christ, not the church to the world. Does that make sense? That's such an important message for our times, because we have many in Christian circles, even Catholic circles, that want to get rid of the moral teachings and the liturgical practices for the sake of convenience. For the sake, listen, that was what they did in the old church. That's not relevant anymore. I had one group tell us that the rosary was irrelevant. Child of Jesus. I want you to stand in front of the Blessed Virgin Mary and tell her that her rosary is not relevant. And she'd just say, oh, sweet child, huh? There's no more powerful set of prayers than the rosary. Again, there's so much incredible grace is obtained by us taking the customs and the traditions of our faith seriously, living it heroically and well. So when we look at this, we have to first take seriously our sanctifying the world through our daily life's excellence, our daily prayer life, and then going out and being an evangelist in the world, developing relationships and sharing the word of God with those we love the most. Again, people will often say, well, I don't want to offend someone. That's a very dangerous road, because the world that we live in today, people get offended about everything. And to share the message of God, Christ said, if they hate you, remember they hated me first. And if they hate you because of me, my blessings will flow upon you even greater. And so you have nothing to lose by trying to offend someone. I have to tell you, I wouldn't be standing here right now if it wasn't for a man who ministered to me. In my career, my boss, I'd work with him. We'd work nights and weekends together. We'd spent 2 or 3 years together. And he came up to me one day, and this was the beginning of my conversion. And he said, Ken, professionally, I have no problem with you, but personally, I do. I hear you tell people that you're a Christian and sometimes even a Catholic, depending on who we're talking to. But you've told me you don't believe in God, you don't pray, you don't go to church. And some of the stories you tell are unbecoming a man, let alone a Christian. So which is it? Not only did my business partner and boss jeopardize our friendship and relationship, he jeopardized our business as well. But look at the dividends that it's paid back. If it wasn't for an individual who ministered to me, and not only him, but hundreds of others, I wouldn't be standing before you today. So I want you to have great faith and confidence, not in your own ability, but in the power of God that flows you as through him. That flows through you as his son or daughter, who wants to use you as his hands and feet in this world to bring the message of salvation to the darkness that is in such need of a great light. So my brothers and sisters, as we come forward today to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, I want you to ask him not only for the graces to be his voice, his hands, his feet, not only in the call for salvation, but in service of others, but also for the grace to evaluate your life. When you're sitting there making your thanksgiving, ask him, Lord, where do I need to change? How do I need to grow? What are you asking of me? Let's receive our Lord today and receive the grace and power from on high to bring light into the darkness.